Hi, I'm Dell Shores.
And I'm Emerson Collins, and you're watching The Dell and Emerson Show.
Straight talk.
Real gay.
Oh my God, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. By the fifth show, we're going to get it right, Emerson.
And y'all, we practice it before we start. We talk about it every time, and then we get distracted talking about other things and forget.
I tell you what, Emerson, we have to realize that when we were in the studio, we had John to keep us on track with music and stuff. So we're just all alone. I'm depending on you to push buttons and stuff.
It's true. Well, so welcome to our now bi-weekly show discussing the week in LGBTQ news. Look, it's fine. We're all at home. Look, I showered and shaved and got dressed and did my hair. That's the best it's gonna get. It's all downhill from here.
You look really good, Emerson. That I mean, come on. That, you know, the rest.
And we have a very special guest today. Alec Mappa will be joining us halfway through the show. If you are watching on Facebook or Periscope or YouTube, all of your comments load in so we can see what you have to say, what your questions are. If you have questions for Alec, let us know. How are you doing, Del Shores?
I'm doing so great. I'm doing better this week. I'm getting used to all of this a little bit. And I think the structure, you know, we have a more structure with the show and doing things. You and I are writing something together. And it's raining here in LA, so that could be depressing. But I make choices, Emerson, and I choose not to be depressed.
Good. I mean, I had an anxiety attack Thursday night that left me like out for the weekend. It's
Did
just,
you, really?
You know, the moods go up and down. Yeah. Just had a like, it sticks with me like nausea. It just leaves me sort of exhausted for several days. And having something like this to do and the structures helps me move through that. And I think a lot of people are sort of in the same places.
Well, I think another thing that's helped me is I've navigated away from the news so much because I was watching it 24/7. And so now I go, oh my God, it's like 500 more have died today. It's really getting kind of scary though. Over 1,000 already, like by noon today. So, and we're here to lift you up a little bit. So we're not going to dwell on the deaths and the cases and everything, but you know, we acknowledge that it is a hard time for all of us. And that's the reason we're doing this show. So I feel like that one of the things that we can all do is to find things that are more positive and to create. And because we're having a hard time, people who are creators like us.
And so hopefully this is an hour that is a diversion, maybe a little informative if you've been ignoring the news for your own mental well-being, and we can all have a good time together. Now, you told me that we moved on from Facetervation and you've moved back into the world of Grindr.
Well, yes, because there's no hope at all. So I just figured, well, why not just, you know, because Grindr and Scruff reminds me of how much we can be rejected, but now we kind of can't be rejected. It feels like we can't be rejected because everybody's in the same boat of isolation. But there are those out there who are still trying to hook up. And I re-downloaded or whatever you do with the app. It was up in the cloud and it comes back. And so I had Scruff already. And I started to getting more messages. I here's the truth. I don't get that many messages or in LA. When I'm out of town, more so. But mostly it's just saying, oh, hey, are you Del Shores? But this week I got like a bunch of, I downloaded Grindr and I started getting this guy, real cute guy, starts, his first intro was, would you like to breed me? And I'm like, well, after the coronavirus has passed over, possibly we could discuss this. And he goes, coronavirus is just for old people like you. Yes.
No, yes. Sir. And how dare.
And then he blocked me, so I couldn't even go, you little fucking asshole. I couldn't even respond. Blocked me after he said that. Wanted me to breed him, but then he called me old. Anyway, I mean, I've been feeling old anyway because now I can shop with the senior citizens at Whole Foods. But
I want you next time to answer the question, would you breed me? Do you want to breed me? Ask him, with what? You know, like, I imagine like breeding with, you know, with a tiger like Joe or with like, you know, a labradoodle? Like, if you like, what is the, what do you end up with?
I know we all just watch the Tiger King, so we know there's all these this breeding and the mixture, and oh, it's crazy. So anyway, now you've had a crazy week, because last week on the show you showed us how to make a mask out of a jock strap, and then you decided to do a little tutorial, and it went completely viral. It's been every gay site I've seen.
In all seriousness, like I told you, I had that anxiety attack Thursday night, and Friday I was like, let's just have fun. I was like, I'll post this and I'll get a bunch of texts from my friends that are like, Emerson, you know, that where people just write your name in all caps and they mean like, what are you doing? And so that it has amused people is delightful. Now, speaking of getting called old, there's certainly some gays who are enjoying trolling me with it. And several responses have been like, look at this old gay trying to be young on TikTok, which fair, but also that cuts deep. I was like, that's going to be my new show, Old Gay.
You know, so that just proved, I've been wondering, should I get on TikTok? You just answered my question. No, I will not be on TikTok.
Some of them made it very clear that I should not be there either. But I'm glad that it amused some people, that me being completely ridiculous made some people laugh. I got some lovely messages from people who said, I laughed today because you were absurd. And I feel like that's all we can offer as entertainers. I can't fix the laws. I don't have any respirators to give to anybody. So
give them some. I was very proud. And how many? I mean, have you ever counted them, Emerson? Have you ever counted those jock straps? Because it looked like there was like at least 100.
I mean, I have a problem. You know, I think it goes all the way back to that like middle school, high school, like terror of the locker room. It was like thrilling and terrifying and exciting all at the same time. So I definitely, that's where it comes from. You know, we all have our backstories.
Yes.
All right, should we get to the news?
Yes, let's get to the news so we can get to Alec Mappa, because he'll make us laugh till we hurt.
A couple of quick follow-ups. We talked on Friday about the blood ban for men who have sex with men being shortened from 12 months to 3 months, as though that's particularly helpful. And I found the story of a man in New York, Sabri Benacour, who got the coronavirus, and then he recovered in March, and he saw an advertisement looking for a plasma study for anybody that had survived the virus. And so he applied online. He did a screener. They asked about his symptoms and his medications. He said he was on Truvada. They took his blood and they said he had a robust level of antibodies and wanted his donation quickly. But a few hours before his appointment, they called and said he couldn't donate, not just because he's a man who has sex with men, but because he is on Truvada. Now he asked them if he stopped taking it for a month, could he then donate? And they said, no, he would have to abstain the same way under the same requirements as the sex requirements. So it's really disappointing. There's all of these men who are surviving the virus, who could be contributing to a solution, who aren't able to.
Well, that's kind of disturbing.
I know.
Well, also in that same vein, we've got the Log Cabin Republicans. They took credit for and gave Trump credit for the blood ban change. Now, you know, Emerson, I have had a problem with the Log Cabin Republicans. We've had public feuds for a long time. And I always say, and I will say it here on the air today, I have challenged many Log Cabin Republicans to a public debate. I will give my money for whatever we raise to some amazing charity like the Trevor Project, and they can keep theirs like good Republicans. But nobody will debate me publicly. But this is what happened. A Washington Blade reporter asked Trump about the new policy during Friday's White House Corona's Task Force briefings, which, my God, those briefings. They're not brief and they're just awful. And the president didn't object to the policy, but he said it did not come from him. He said, I don't know anything about it. Well, we all believe that.
One of the only honest things he said.
Yes, exactly. He admitted he knew nothing about it. And he said that was done by the FDA, which is capable people, the FDA. They're capable. He said that four times. They're capable. And so the Log Cabin Republicans had praised Trump for easing the restrictions. They adhered to that position despite his remarks. So on March 19th, quote, President Trump ordered the removal of outdated FDA rules and bureaucracy. And Log Cabin Manager Director Charles Moran told the Blade that's exactly what happened. Even after Trump said that is not what happened, he said that is what happened. So he's sticking to his story. And guess what, Charles? That is not what happened. So go fuck yourself. Anyway.
They want to keep giving him credit so they can take credit for convinced for staying engaged with him as Republicans. Like, it really comes back to them. Oh,
if you're a log cabin Republican and you're watching this, I'm so sorry. Because I will not ease up on you.
You know? And then our next story ties back to Friday as well.
Oh, yeah, that's me, too. So on Friday, we talked about Franklin Graham, another asshole, and his bigoted Samaritan's Purse organization with the field hospital in Central Park. So on Sunday, I love this so much, and I have a picture. 69-year-old William, I think it's Talin, dressed in a pink suit, a bandana mask, jumped over the perimeter to protest. And it was fantastic. He refused to leave. And finally, he planted a rainbow flag in front of them. And he was arrested by NYPD and charged with resisting arrest, obstructing government administration, criminal trespass, and disorderly conduct. They have no business being in New York City. And then this is my favorite quote. He said, "They are the virus." Here he is. Look at him being led away. And look, they have his. They pulled up his flag, and the NYPD are carrying it. But there he is. So I just want him to give him a shout out. I think if he got some legal fees that need paying, let's start a GoFundMe or something, because he made me happy.
It did look like just the saddest pride parade of one.
But how great. He made his statement. And I always say, you know, sometimes we have to scream loudly, and he screamed loudly, and good for him.
And it did really make me think of, you know, with all the ridiculous things happening with our government, with the things happening with the Wisconsin primary today, that, you know, social distancing being really important. If we reach a moment where something goes really wrong in a way that requires, you know, what normally we would publicly protest, we're going to be in a very interesting situation at how to deal with. One of our major ways to respond to our government is assembling publicly to demonstrate our displeasure with our leaders. So if we get to a situation, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what sort of solution there is for that during this current environment. Not to bring it down, but I did start thinking about that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Leading to our next story, you know, Lil Nas X, I'm sure everyone knows, exploded last year with his big hit single Old Town Road. He won a bunch of Grammys. He came out on Twitter last June publicly and became a sort of visible black man in country music, now out of the closet, parading down red carpets in amazing, glorious fashions, and just sort of became this explosive new visible icon in the community. And he did an interview recently and talked about how after he watched, you know, other kids at his high school who were out get bullied, he said, "The honest truth is, I plan to die with the secret. But that changed when I became Lil Nas X. I 100% want to represent the LGBT community. I don't want to encourage them to do something they don't 100% want to do, especially in like middle school or high school, because it's just super hard. It's easier for me. I'm not depending on anybody. There's no one who's going to kick me out of the house. Nobody to start treating me shitty." And he said, even now, he still doesn't discuss his romantic life at home. And it got me to thinking about how many, in our current crisis, how many LGBTQ people are particularly vulnerable, you know, trans people who are disproportionately represented in sex workers, LGBTQ youth that are homeless. Homeless shelters are having problems. How do you distance and keep shelters open? And how many LGBTQ people may now be quarantined at home with family members they're not out to? You know, their home environments are not comfortable. And so how many of our community may be hurting exponentially more by the nature of not being able to get to safe people or safe places or safe parts of our community?
Absolutely. All right. Well, moving on, I love this story, and thank you so much for giving me this one, Emerson, because, you know, I love to perform a preacher. And there's this televangelist who blows wind of God to defeat the coronavirus. And y'all, you have to go on YouTube and just find him. His name is Kenneth Copeland, because it is so worthy of you looking at the whole thing. It is the most ridiculous thing. He's chanting all this shit. And then he's got these minions around him who are very unenthusiastically doing an echo of it all. And so he's telling his followers that they can cure themselves of the COVID-19 by touching their television screens. And now he's taking a new approach. So he did his service. Now we have to give him that he did not bring all the flock in, that they were at home. So it was an empty church, but he is screaming as if they're there and streaming online. And so here's what he said. He goes, "Wind, almighty, strong south wind, heat, burn this thing in the name of Jesus. Satan, you bow to your knees. You fall to your face. COVID-19. And then he's supposed to blow here, but it felt more like a spit. He goes, I blow the wind of God on you. You are destroyed forever. Then he bows to the camera. Oh, it is such a performance, and you must see it. I didn't even do it anywhere close to justice.
I feel like that was a decent interpretation. You know,
Emerson.
It was definitely like a national tour level performance. It's funny, you know, we put these things in because obviously we have loved and laughed at bigoted, ridiculous pastors forever, but it's also so dangerous. There are entirely too many people that listen to their religious leaders as moral authorities and expect them to know things and to say things that are true. And it terrifies me to think of people sitting at home thinking, that man blew the wind of God across me and now I can go outside and do what I want.
Well, it's not just preachers, Emerson. It's also like, you know, our president, who started off by saying this was a hoax. And today I was reading about some woman who said it was, she said 2 weeks ago it was a hoax and died yesterday. Died.
Yeah.
So now believing money for her funeral expenses.
It also makes me think of that. We didn't put her in the list, but that woman who said she was covered in God's blood sure made me think of you too. You saw her, right?
No, I did not.
I'll send you the video. This woman driving in a car and being interviewed, and they're like, "Aren't you worried?" She's like, "I'm covered in God's blood." I was like, "Well, like you said, washed in the blood."
Oh, there's so much ignorance out there. So stay in, y'all, and stay safe. Just to stay in. They say, what I'm hearing on the news, especially here in Los Angeles, this is absolutely the worst week. So if you have plenty of groceries, get creative, you know, make pizza popcorn or something.
Yeah. Hey, let's skip to the next and let's go on to the brothers.
Oh, the brothers. Okay. I was amused by this because I'm the younger brother. My brother, Dexton, is 2 years older than me, or as my mother always said, they're 22 months apart. But now you're the oldest brother. So this is interesting. It says men with older brothers are more likely to be gay. A study that was published two son families, the younger brother is 38% more likely to be gay than the older brother. And like, you know, there's a lot of studies about more gay people have left-handed. And
I am.
When I was working on Queer as Folk, I was the only right-handed writer in the room. The only one. And they were all gay. I guess that goes without saying. we didn't hire any, you know, straight people to write on the show. They were 5,000 subjects. And they did not do anything on females. But yes, so I don't know. It's just an interesting, stupid statistic, you know.
I know. But every person. I also love that it's something people study. Like, aren't there better things?
Yeah.
It's like interesting trivia, but that's like somebody's life's work.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a hobby.
Yeah.
All right. And then quick commercial. First of all, if you're enjoying the broadcast on Facebook or wherever, feel free to share it with your friends. Or at the end of the broadcast, if you think it was fun, share it with people as something to tune into. And Dell and I are both available on Cameo.
Yes, we are.
We'll make videos for you and your friends. But I'll share this real fast. But Cameo, and I love this, I finally signed up for it. Somebody said, you should be on that. And I was like, I am not famous enough for that to not just seem self-important. But I finally signed up because I'm poor. And Cameo is doing a great charity event, April 16th through 18th, where any cameos booked by members who have joined will donate the proceeds to COVID-19 relief charities in conjunction with a free virtual fan convention. So if you want cameos from us, from your favorite reality people, there's lots of actually, you know, actors and famous people on it, you'll be able to see on their profile at the 16th through the 18th, if you book it then, all of the proceeds will go to charity. And I love that. I think it's great.
They're not requiring celebrities to do that, but you get to choose whether you're going to do it. And of course, we're going to do it. So so we'll be posting about it during that period, especially. So, you know, and I do them as Jimmy Dale Watkins and Del Shore. So did a fun one yesterday as Jimmy Dale.
Yes. All right. And obviously, everyone has lots of time at home watching lots of things. We're all watching so much entertainment, those of us that have places to be and are non-essential. So a brand new streaming platform launched this week called Quibi. It's a phone-only app. You can only watch the content on the phone. And I am fascinated and love it because they have a lot of very specifically LGBTQ and queer creators and artists and shows. And so Del and I decided we're going to watch like 3 or 4 shows and talk about them on the next couple of episodes because there's so much content. Quibi is short for Quick Bites. So it's all 6 to 10 minute episodes.
Right now it's free for 3 months. And then
And there's a free 90-day trial. So you can watch a whole lot of Quick Bites in that time. So
Quibi, for our show, because we're giving you some free advertising here. But I really loved it. Thank you for, this was Emerson's idea, and I loved it. I got up this morning, and I just couldn't stop watching. I actually watched an extra one, and I saw that Chrissy Teigen was on there, and I know that, you know, there's nothing gay really about her, but there kind of is. She's sassy, and she's fun. And she has a thing called Chrissy's Court, which is sort of like, you know, Judge Judy or something. But it's the most ridiculous, ridiculous cases. And the one that I watched was this old man who was a crooner in this restaurant. He owned this restaurant. And some a person who came in to get a takeout asked him to do a rap song. And he was so appalled by it that he stepped up back and he broke his speaker. And so he was suing the guy for suggesting a rap song. And he said, you know, what rap is, it's just crap without the C. And Chrissy ruled in his favor. And I loved her mother. Her mother's the best
part of the show.
And John Legend showed up and he reenacted the scene, you know, where he was the young guy who asked for the rap song. And then the sweetest moment at the end, some little girl calls out, "Mommy, you did great." And it was her daughter, Luna, was sitting in the courtroom. So it was really cute.
And then my personal favorite is called The Game Show, G-A-Y-M-E, Game Show. It is the brainchild of Matt Rogers and Dave Mazzoni. And it is just hysterically gay, queer camp. It's a competition. They bring on 2 straight guys and they are competing to be crowned the title, gay as fuck. So they do several rounds. One, they put up 3 random things that are weirdly sort of queer and campy, and they have to guess what celebrities it's about. And then at the final, they have to do like a runway walk. And I love it because one, they're hysterical.
Matt Rogers, great. I loved them both. I thought they were great.
Has a great podcast with Bowen Yang, who's on SNL now, called Las Culturistas, and they are hysterically funny. And I know Dave and Matt have been doing the show live for a long time and are now bringing it online. And at its core, beyond the silly, I love that it flips on its head the idea that straight guys are aspiring for gay approval. You know, they talked about how we all as adolescents like did all these things to try to seem okay enough with the straight guys. And then underneath the silly, this sort of flips that on its head, and it's really charming and hysterical.
Yeah, and it I love that they just randomly, the way they go, oh, you 3,000 points. 3,000 points. It's like,
yes, the point system is just whatever Matt or Dave is in the mood for.
Exactly. So I also watched Dismantle. Did you watch that one, Emerson, with Titus Burgess?
Titus Burgess.
He's so funny. They blow up. First of all, I am obsessed with cooking shows. I watch.
I knew you'd like it.
Cooks or Cons. I love that one. And of course, Top Chef. So this one is just. Alec was on one of those bad. What was it? Was it Bad Cooks? We'll have to ask him about it with Morgan.
Fairchild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so anyway, this one is they blindfold the contestants and they put them in all the, it looks like, you know, astronaut gear.
Hazmat gear.
Yeah, exactly. And then they blow up a food. I mean, they just blow up a food. So this food is all over. It just looked like blood all over the place, like a lot of pasta sauce. And then they have to eat it for a certain amount of time. And then the contestants have to decide what it was that was blown up and recreate the dish. And they win by how many ingredients they get from the original dish. And it's very funny. And of course, Dan Levy is a judge, which makes me so happy.
And, yes. And then our final, and then one that I really, really loved is called Nightgowns. It's a documentary style show based around Sasha Velour, who won RuPaul's Drag Race, and this incredible queer performance art show that she hosts in New York City. It's behind the scenes. She's so smart and so intellectual about the way she assembles drag and her art, and the documentary style gives time to sort of sit with her. You learn about her mother, and it was her mother, this bald head that inspired the bald head that Sasha wears as this brilliant artistic woman. And I can't wait to watch more of that one. I just really loved it.
It was great. And I loved that she and her husband are
creative partners and life partners.
It seemed to be doing so well with it together. I loved their little testimonials about each other working together, because that doesn't always work out.
That's true.
Yes. And then we've got, this one I did not love. It's called, first of all, it's so deceptive. It's called Fierce Queen. So you're just expecting, you know, who are we expecting? Willem or somebody, a Fierce Queen, you know, Latrice Royale, somebody. And it's Reese Witherspoon narrating an animal show about, this one was about cheetahs.
And cheetahs.
They're just strong female animals, these cheetahs. And we kind of went on this little 9-minute journey with these cheetah sisters who were 18 months old. And it was kind of sad because they lost their siblings. There were 3 siblings that got killed. It's hard. She said, it's tough being a teenage cheetah. And so we went on this journey where, you know, they're going to die if they don't get food. So you're kind of rooting for them, but then there's this beautiful impala that they're chasing. So then you're like conflicted because they're going to kill a beautiful impala and you don't know whether to cheer or go, fuck the cheetah. I don't know.
I know. I wasn't sure what the tone was supposed to be, because it's like Reese Witherspoon's narrating, but then it's like this serious cheetah life journey. And it made me think of the Cheetah Girls and then Chester the Cheetah. And did I want to eat some Cheetos? I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to, if this is meant to be totally sincere, I was just a little confused. And I love Reese, but I'm going to stick to Little Fires Everywhere.
No, I'm not watching it again. I did not push favorite on that one. The only thing I did learn is that, you know, the mother abandons their cubs when she gets pregnant again. And the way the male cheetah knows that she's in heat is he smells her urine.
There we go.
That was informative.
All right. Well, if you're enjoying the show, feel free. This is our one commercial moment to throw us $1 or $5 if you want to treat it like you watched a movie. If you don't have any money, just watch and clap. And we are thrilled to have you here. But you can Venmo me at Emerson Collins, and I promise to split it. Or PayPal us at beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. But let's get on now and bring to the show our very special guest, Alec Mappa.
Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, Winnie, bitty, shitty old bear.
Oh, oh my God.
Were you able to hear Jamie, my husband, playing in the background? He's been practicing all afternoon.
He's very gifted.
Yes.
Who knew?
Wind!
I know. How crazy is that? How
that was the best job I've gotten all month.
I don't believe that for a second.
You have to go see it, Alec. You have to go see that.
I watched it while you guys, the minute you guys said, look it up, and it was worth everything. There's already a disco remix of it.
Oh,
oh my God, really?
Yeah, there's already a club remix of Blow God Blow or Wind Blow God or whatever. I'm very drunk because I have a little bit of stage fright. So my husband made me a cocktail, and it's a lot stronger than I thought it was going to be. It's a Boulevardier, which has, what does it have, honey? Bourbon?
Campari and sweet vermouth.
Bourbon, Campari, and sweet vermouth. So it's alcohol, alcohol, and more alcohol. So that's how the quarantine virus.
Perfect.
I love
seems like a good way.
Art in the background, Alec. I love the statue. It's great. Look at that.
Classy. Classy.
Yeah. And then there's a cowboy over there. I saw
that culture. Yeah. That was to make sure that everybody knew that was a set dressing to establish that I was gay.
Yeah.
I think we know. I got it.
I miss you. And I
miss you too,
Del.
Friend.
Last time I saw Del, I was forcing him to eat fried chicken in Texas.
I'm telling you, that was such a, and you know, I was thinking about that during this whole lockdown. I was thinking, how I resisted that. And you actually said something very interesting.
I was like, we're all going to die. Seize the day. Eat the fucking fried chicken.
Yeah. You said, eat some fucking fried chicken. Yeah. You're in your own home state. Eat it.
I know. This is like, we're in the state known for fried chicken. Eat the fried chicken. And then Emerson and I went into a bar, and it was like literally like 2 minutes after Orlando Pulse. And I was holding Emerson. I was standing between Emerson and Blake. And I said, okay, what's our escape route? Where do we go? Yes. And I said, and I hate that I'm thinking this right now, but just know that you're both going to be my human shield, and you're going to go down first because I have a child.
Yeah.
Well, that was a hard time. And what we're talking about is, this is when we were filming a very sordid wedding.
Yes.
In Dallas. And
do you remember the bet we had going?
What was the bet?
The bet was, how long is it going to take for Leslie to spill the beans about American Horror Story?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And how long? He had an NDA. He had signed a non-disclosure agreement. Oh. And so we were picking him up. I was in the transportation van. And then Leslie got in. And the first thing he said, oh, girl, I'm so tired. I've been up in the hills in Malibu with Gaga. I think I die in the fourth episode. Here's how I get murdered.
It's like, there is no such thing as an NDA with Leslie Jordan. I'm telling you. I knew every time he did American Horror Story, he would call me and he'd go, Dale, he goes, I think I'm gonna die.
The fourth episode, they gut me like a fish. And then he showed us all the pictures of his entrails falling out. And it was like, somebody owes me $10 because that was under 5 minutes.
And then after y'all got out of the van, arriving on set, he turned and said to the entire crew, I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm very tired. I just flew in from shooting with Lady Gaga on American Horror Story, but I'm not supposed to tell anybody.
And what was the name of the actor, Jamie, who was in American Beauty, who was in American Horror Story that season? Wesley?
Wes Bentley.
He said, all that Wes Bentley, so good looking. Like, if you were eating his ass and it was dirty, you would just work right through it.
We did.
Goodbye. Okay. That's the end of our show.
We said real gay. It's real gay on the Dylan Emerson.
Have I driven people away? Is that the thing is that the level of like, there's still this COVID crisis?
If you have questions for Alec, you can type them on Periscope, YouTube, or Facebook, and I will see them all here and I'll pass them on.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and I'm on Cameo. I will leave you a reading. I'm not famous enough to be on Cameo either, but Emerson. But I didn't think
eventually more famous
on World's Worst Cook Celebrity Edition.
Yeah, tell the people about that.
Huh?
You're doing it again?
No, I did it. I did it already.
And I watched every episode.
Yeah, it was me and Tanya Harding. But I remember walking into the makeup trailer on the first day, and I saw Jimmy Walker, and I said, this isn't a who-who, this is a who gives a shit.
Who was it on your season? Who was it? I can't remember who just kind of walked off the show. She said, I'm done.
Karen Manning from Orange is the New Black, Pensatucky.
Oh, yeah. She was like, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Like the animal people thing.
She survived shooting Crossroads with Britney Spears, and she couldn't survive Worst Cooks.
You know what? See, you're a good gay, because I didn't bring that up. I would have brought it up.
Oh, I would have had to ask.
But here's why Karen Manning's a badass. So she left the show, like, the third day, and stayed in the hotel the entire week.
Oh, just...
I had drinks with her every night. Like, I would show up at the lounge. We were in this Williamsburg hotel, and it had this beautiful rooftop bar that overlooked Manhattan. And I was like, Taryn, you're still here? She goes, it's a free hotel for a week. And I'm still friends with Tanya.
Oh, I love her.
Tanya Harding comes to visit me in L.A., and she orders a glass of wine, and she's like, how come they never fill the glass all the way? The top of the glass is up here.
Bless her heart.
But you did also come out of that with a very good friendship with Morgan Fairchild, who we love.
You guys love Morgan, right?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know Morgan, but
how is that possible?
You were trying to. I need to email her. You gave me her email, and yeah. Now we can't get together. You said we needed.
So you guys would hit it off completely. Her original name was Patsy.
I know everything about her.
She's a former fatty. She was like a nerd, a theater nerd. And one summer she was like, fuck it. And she ate nothing but carrots and hard boiled eggs. And she lost all the weight, and she wore contact lenses, and she became Morgan Fairchild.
Oh, early when she was in her big fame day, she worked out at the I don't know what gym over there on Vineland and Ventura, where, and Leslie Jordan, who used to work out, he would go with me to work out. And he would go, that's Morgan Fairchild, because she doesn't look, I mean, when she's not Morgan, she's just glasses. And one day she came, and she must have just come from a photo shoot, and she looked amazing. And
she looked like Morgan Fairchild.
And Leslie went over, and she's, Miss Fairchild, I just need to tell you how much I love your work. You were so amazing in Campus Man. And Morgan looked at him, and she said, I have a feeling that's not why, I was not the reason you liked that movie.
I mean, Morgan and I spent 4 weeks rehearsing a play we were going to go do for 10 weeks at a dinner theater in Canada that never happened.
He thinks quite highly of you. She would show up
at the
hotel at 7 a.m. in curlers and full beat, her makeup already done. And I'd be like, you know, there's a whole staff of people who will do that for you. And she said, I know, but I already know how to look like Morgan Fairchild.
I mean, iconic queen.
Fantastic. So what are you guys doing all day?
Well, I'm just sitting here talking to you and looking at the rain out the window. Before we forget, I really want to plug that you're going to be on Uncabaret, the Zoom edition again.
This coming Sunday.
You are.
Make a resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good.
On Zoom.
I will be watching this time. I got Zoom bombed when I was right in the middle of two guys just started fucking right in the middle of my set.
Right, which I thought was appropriate.
I did too, but it's hard. Then there was all the, you know, the racial that started.
I was too drunk to see that part.
Y'all, here's the way I feel about Easter this year. Jesus needs to set a good example and stay in that tomb.
Right?
Like, he needs to not be going out.
Jesus.
Don't
roll away the rock.
Don't roll away the rock. Don't come out. He can wait a couple months. He could be like that groundhog. He see his shadow and not come out of the tomb for 6 more weeks.
We're good.
You need to make a meme or something about that. Said, not this year.
Not this year.
No, Mary.
The last time I saw you, are you in Palm Springs right now?
Yes.
Do you remember the last time I saw you, we were quite naked? And you and my husband were doing helicopters at each other?
That's correct.
Jamie, come say hello.
It's what happens in Palm Springs. Please welcome to the show.
My husband, here he comes.
Alec Mappa's brilliant producer husband.
Is there room? Yeah. Get out of the way. No, I'm kidding.
Look at her.
my little Jackie Bead.
Oh, Jackie Bead, we love her.
We love Jackie Bead. What's happening with? Hi.
Oh, hi.
No one can't see you.
Should we? I know, but I can bring him back.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're both on the screen.
Go on the screen. No. On the screen. No. Back to Emerson.
No, look, I got you.
We're right there.
Hi.
I'm Fancy.
Hi. Newlywed game.
So
we're celebrating our 18th anniversary this month.
Oh, I'm that so is happy for you.
Inspiring and insane.
Insane.
Also, the mask for mask haircut is working.
What?
Oh, thank you. I know. Alec did it.
I did it.
I know. We watched it on Instagram.
You cut his hair?
Yeah, in the kitchen.
Oh, I need a haircut, Jamie, but I don't know. I can't have you touch me.
We can put it on a pole and social distance.
Blob and mask and everything.
Try up the insult dog's microphone.
Put it on the end of a Swiffer and hope for the best.
So, Del, this was the story. So we were all in Palm Springs at some hotel. Was a Hyatt?
What were y'all? Y'all were there. I don't even remember why y'all were there.
I don't know. I don't remember either.
Pride. It was Pride.
I just
Palm Springs Pride.
We were all in the hotel room, and you guys had a helicopter off.
Right.
We did. We went to the pool, and then we were changing for dinner. And so, you know.
What is a helicopter? Would you? I bet a lot of people don't know.
It's when you swing your finger at a helicopter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We will not be doing that today, but
I think it's because the air conditioning had conked out, so we needed a little breeze.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, you know.
Someone was bruised. That's all I remember.
Wait, so we have a question from at home.
Uh-oh.
Guy Windsor asked, if you could choose two people to be in lockdown with, who and which one are you sleeping with?
Which one?
Two. Then I'm sleeping with both of them.
Right. It seemed weird to exclude somebody from the party.
I know, especially since I have more than one hole.
Someone has to film. So.
Yeah. Well, no, we have a tripod, so that's taken care of.
And that's what you call Jamie, right?
Right. Right. Exactly. Well. See, we have lighting happening here. See, we've got a ring.
She has a fancy at home studio. But wait, who would your two people be?
Who would your two people be?
No, I'm not going first. I need to think.
Okay, it would be Jamie because he's funny and you saw how well endowed he is. And who else?
It's the lighting.
Who else?
It's not.
Who else? Somebody I'd have really a lot of fun with.
Morgan.
Yeah, I don't think I would choose people for myself.
My husband and Morgan Fairchild.
She can
Yeah.
Who would your two be?
Not
me.
I'm still thinking. Still
okay,
thinking.
Wow. We're not going to make it to our 18th anniversary.
Be like, that's dark. Be like,
Del, your apartment is very, elegant.
Do you see Jesus above me? He's 3D Jesus.
Turn him on, Del.
Turn it on.
Yeah.
Turn it on.
Please.
Oh, gorgeous.
Jesus is giving us a signal.
Love it.
He's doing. How is Jesus doing, like Morse code?
Right. Yes. Like, beep, help me. Beep, 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 in the tomb.
Beep, 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 I don't know what's going on. That's kind of weird. Okay, there we go.
And those are feathers back there. That's very
feathers.
Yeah,
feathers. I, you know, we got Death of a Salesman. Cat. All my favorite plays are here. Cat.
Wow.
It's Sordid Lives.
Okay. Last summer at Bluefish Cove.
Jane Chambers. Okay. See, I know my playwrights.
You want to hear my favorite Easter joke?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's the Last Supper. Jesus has all the disciples gathered together. And Jesus says, tomorrow one of you will betray me. And Thomas says, is it me, Jesus? And he goes, no, Thomas, you'll have your doubts, but it won't be you. And Peter says, is it me, Jesus? And he says, oh, no, Peter, I will build my church upon you. You will be my foundation. And Judas says, is it me, Jesus? And Jesus says, is it me, Jesus?
So dumb.
I heard a COVID joke too.
Oh.
So there's a guy who's in, he's going to emergency and he asks the nurse, are my testicles black? And the nurse says, what? And he goes, are my testicles black? And the nurse goes, sir, I don't know if that's part of the protocol. He goes, are my testicles black? And so she reaches under his hospital gown. She pulls it up. She looks at his testicles. He goes, they look perfectly fine to me. They're kind of purple and blue. And the guy pulls down his mask and he says, are my test results back?
I hate you. That's amazing.
That one I love.
That's fantastic.
Oh my God. So I have to ask you, because I'm a dad too, but my kids are grown. Are you schooling him? Are you having to teach? What are you doing? I mean,
I quite figured that out.
Yeah, the homeschooling teacher was fired for drinking on the job.
Oh, that's you. Got it.
Yeah. Well, both.
As far as we know, spring break is over this week, and there's a Google Classroom situation, and we
are failing miserably.
Yeah, we told our son yesterday at 11 that we're going to have school right after breakfast, and he went into his room, and we didn't see him again until 8 p.m.
Oh, we're horrible teachers, is what we're saying.
And how old is he now?
15.
Oh, you, and if y'all haven't seen, where can we see your documentary?
On YouTube now. If you go Alec Moppa Baby Daddy, you can see my Showtime special.
For free.
It was really wonderful, y'all.
Years.
Yeah. And now it's on the YouTube for free.
Oh, it's on YouTube?
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, y'all people out there, please go to YouTube and see this, because not only is it very touching, it's hysterical. And it shows us what family is and can be. So
how old are your kids now, Del?
My daughter Rebecca is 30. She lives here. She's a school teacher. So she's teaching with Zoom right now. And pre-K. So she said, Dad, it is just chaos. Because all they do is they see each other and they go, hey, oh hi. And so thankfully, the parents have to take over hours. And then my daughter, Caroline, is 27. She's in San Francisco, and she works with an autistic. She's a caretaker for an autistic.
You raised two teachers. That's wonderful.
Yeah, they're
his mom was a teacher. It's in the family.
Yeah, my mom was a high school drama teacher, and my dad was the Southern Baptist preacher. And
wow.
That explains so much.
I know.
Did he blow away viruses?
He did. My dad was not like that kind of event. He wasn't like that. He was more pastoral. He was that crazy.
Was he a charismatic speaker? Was he like, wow, that guy's good?
He was. My brother is also a Southern Baptist preacher. My dad, I don't think my dad was a great orator. I think my brother is crazy good.
Do you remember Marjo Gortner from the 70s?
Oh my God, yes. He was so hot too.
He was he had a fro. He had like a 70s white guy fro. And he was a charismatic preacher who became to be a movie star, who ended up starring in Earthquake, starring Ava Gardner and Charles Heston in 1974.
Wow. He was a child evangelist. He started like
evangelist.
2 years old or something.
If y'all are watching on any of the platforms, if you have a question you want to ask Alec, type it in now and we'll use it in the wrap up.
I drove your audience away with the last two jokes.
But also, I'm
earlier about the things you were watching. I watched I, Tonya the other night. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You watched
I, Tonya.
Oh, yeah. Well,
which cool. To see Alice and Janney is just the absolute best. What else did we watch?
But also, and you're a good test because you know the real Tonya, so you can be a good judge of Margot Robbie's performance.
She nailed it. Well, I started watching Killing Eve on the Hulu with
Margot. And season three starts in like a week.
I've started one. I'm a bad Asian. And what else? What else are we watching?
I only watch WWE and Rachel Maddow, which is a weird.
We've been watching wrestling. And right now, wrestling, there's no audience.
It's so weird. So they're like trying to get the audience to react and no one's there.
They're literally just going through their moves in the center ring and just acting it all out. It is genius. So you got to watch.
Like postmodern performance art.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And every year they get more hot and more hot. So it's very worth it.
I'm watching, I'm obsessed with the Drag Race.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
We are as well.
I have a drinking game every time Britta Filter says she's a star in New York or entertainer of the year. We all take a swig, and I'm usually bombed by the time the first commercial rolls around.
We were going to talk about that earlier, and we ran out. We wanted to get to you, so we'll talk a little bit.
What did y'all think of the Snatch Game?
Yeah.
He wasn't a fan of Gigi Good playing the robot.
It's okay. It was just,
oh, I loved her.
I'm a big fan of hers. I like her a lot.
I thought the physical comedy of it was genius.
Yeah.
The picking
was very funny.
Picking up of the card was funny, but yeah. I thought
the one that catfished everybody was better. What's her name?
Yeah. What's unfortunate about this whole thing is that this is kind of a redemption round for Sherry Pie, because you're saying even though she did an incredibly screwed up thing, she's incredibly talented.
So talented.
But it's hard to, I don't know about y'all, but it's hard for me to be okay with her on any level because of all the
tapes you made of auditions, Del.
What's that?
Because of all the taped auditions you made people do.
Yeah, it was just fucked up. I mean, that is like,
it is a very weird viewer experience for me too, because she's the kind of queen I'm very inclined to be drawn to. A theater queen,
right.
Smart, old and timey, like Noel Coward jokes, you know.
But what was unfortunate is when you hear the entire story about how she had been doing regional theater, and if you've done regional theater with young people, you know how vulnerable they are and how close you guys get backstage and everything. The fact that she took advantage of vulnerable people was unfortunate.
Yeah.
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 There's something mentally ill about that kind of thing. I mean, I think something that's just really,
it's definitely like that. It went on for 9-10 years. There's
really, wow. I heard it went on after the show had started filming.
It was the final one ended in December. But I do want to shout out though, while we're talking about Snatch Game, we're biased because Blake's best friend from since college is Jackie Cox.
She was great.
And that she did Lisa Rinna, and obviously I'm a Bravo person. I was like, that was a home run for me in every way. Like, props. Yes.
I feel bad about the whole situation with his mother, that his mother doesn't know he does drag, and that just made me feel sad.
She does now. You know, I think he'll talk about it more. But yeah, it's like he used to go by himself, you know. His partner didn't go early, but she is now aware that the show is happening. So, and he's
a friend who is in a relationship, a gay relationship with an Iranian doctor who's out to his family, and the family loves him.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We love that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, we do have a couple of questions. Somebody asked, Alec, how is being a full-time mom homeschool teacher right now?
I'm drinking quite heavily, so that'll be a tip.
Do y'all divide the drinking, like Papa gets to drink in the day and Daddy gets to drink in the afternoon, or do we just, go with what happens?
It's over all day long, but after 4:30, all bets are off.
We divide it hour upon the hour. I drink from 11 to 12, he drinks from 12 to 1, I drink 1 to 2.
Alternate. Yeah, whoever's perfect. Is the most effective parent.
Yes. Bill asked, where is Alec originally from? San Francisco, right?
San Francisco.
Rex asked, have you seen Toy Boy on Netflix?
No, what's that?
I don't know what that is, but it sounds like something we'd be into.
Yeah, we watched a very campy horror film called The Babysitter, which was super fun. Which was the guy who did the Charlie's Angels movie. It was very camp.
Oh, wait, that's fun.
Yeah, yes, it was very good.
Really good.
I've been getting into a lot of horror lately. Because of the time that we're living in. So like, to me, horror is like, I watched Ma.
Oh, Ma. Ma was fun.
Oh, yeah, I saw Ma.
Wait, pause. Pause.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blake and I were saying Heidi should have done Ma as her Snatch Game character. She has those Octavia Spencer eyes.
Oh, yeah. Wait, who?
Heidi.
Yeah.
She did Leslie Jones.
Little shout out, I love Heidi as a
me
person.
Me too. She's
Heidi's my favorite, probably. She's just not pushing it as far as she needs to, but she's going to be Miss Congeniality.
Her name should be Heidi Hole. That's the best. Heidi Hole. Yeah.
She's just a joyful spirit and funny both on purpose and not on purpose.
It's really kind of janky drag sometimes.
Yes.
I want Heidi to come to the dinner parties that everyone comes to.
Yes.
Like, I want to be Heidi's friend.
Dale has never been over for our dinner parties.
Yeah, so. I have never been invited, but I will.
All right. We have to make that happen.
And isn't Calpurnia Adams like your neighbor? Is she still?
Yes. She's our neighbor and she makes fried chicken. It's always, so you'd have to eat fried chicken if you
want
to
eat fried chicken.
I want to hear some bullshit about some fucking spinning class that you had to go to.
Okay. I bought a spinning bike.
In his house.
It is in my bedroom now.
No good.
Yeah.
I can't get into spinning. I just can't ride a bike to nowhere.
Well, you have to have music on. You have to have music on, or you have to get a Peloton and have some hot instructor telling you what to do.
Oh, that's why I subscribe to these instructors.
Right. Right. Are they naked?
No, they're not. But I do have to admit that I went on YouTube.
Interest waning.
What the hell? I tried to run for 4 days last week for the first time in a year and a half, and I think that's why I had a panic attack, so I quit.
You have the metabolism of a hummingbird. You weigh like 10 pounds soaking wet. I would kill another human being for your waistline.
I was like Morgan Fairchild. I was that fat kid, so you know.
Oh, so you're a former fat kid in your head, you're still fat.
I ate a half a sandwich. A girl at church camp came up to me and she said, "Why are you so fat and ugly and your brother so cute?" And that's what caused me to eat a half a sandwich for the rest of the summer and come back from eighth grade to ninth grade, 40 pounds thinner.
Oh, Dale Shores was so fat. How fat was he? Every time he ate Chinese food, his chopsticks would catch fire. Dale Shores was so fat. Dale Shores was so fat when he was a kid, he could only play Seek.
You better be going down.
Dale was so fat. For fun, he'd go downtown and burn out the escalators.
Yeah, when he hauled ass, it took two trips.
Dale Shores was so fat, his parents didn't have a sunken living room until he showed up.
Oh, stop. All right, Emerson, do we need to plug some things before up here?
You're absolutely like you're
stunning.
You're a couple pounds above organ failure.
Thank you. I always say, if someone says, "Dale, you're too thin," I go, "Oh, thank you."
He's so skinny he can hide behind a pool cue.
Gentlemen, I have to say that it makes my heart so happy to see your faces.
Yeah,
I love you as people. You make me laugh. If you aren't following them, well, now it's just Alec because Jamie's taking an Instagram cleanse still, right?
Nobody appears.
Yeah,
on
no,
my,
I have no social media.
But
at
he
all.
Appears on my Instagram every day as
he
as
makes a cameos. He's above the title featured on Alex. Mm-hmm. Please follow their adventures at home. Alec will be on Uncabaret on Sunday night.
On Zoom.
Night. Go to just go to Facebook. And go Uncabaret, and you will see a Zoom edition, and you will see all the details.
Yes, you can see me on Hulu on Ugly Betty and Desperate Housewives. You can see me on the Food Network, Worst Cooks, Worst Celebrity Cooks. What else? You can see me on DC Universe, where I play Animal, Vegetable, Mineral Man.
Scream Queen.
Scream Queen, also on the Hulu. You can't get away from me.
He's all
you can watch A Very Sordid Wedding, also on the Hulu. On YouTube.
Plays Marty.
I was really fat in that movie.
You were so good.
It was a character choice.
And you did all that comedy in 118 degrees.
Oh, my God.
So, Emerson, what else do you have?
Thank y'all. We love you.
Bye.
Yes.
I just kicked him out. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please share it when it's done. Tell your friends to watch, to tune in. If you want to throw us $1, $5, $10, or $100, if you're a rich person and good for you, you should be donating to people that are out of work as well. You can tip us on Venmo at Emerson Collins, on PayPal at beardcollinsshores@gmail.com. And we want to tell you about some shows that you can tune in from some of our favorites right after this. My friend Scott Nevins is doing a very special Broadway clip night on Twitch. So go to his Facebook page. That starts right after this. Dale's doing his stories.
Yeah, come to my Facebook at 7 o'clock. We're reading bedtime sorted stories every night. And we got Blake MacGyver, musical happy hour at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right?
Well, tomorrow. And then right after that at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 Eastern, Brandi Clark and Shane Mack are live on Brandi's Facebook page.
All right. So, this weekend, we've got some things, but we're going to be back on Friday. So we're going to plug all the weekend stuff on Friday.
And so our Friday show will have Caroline Ray and maybe a special musical guest. So join us same time, 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
And this has been the Dell and Emerson Show, and we love you guys. Y'all stay in and stay safe.
Thank you for tuning in. Bye.